It's good to see everyone that's come out this afternoon to be with us. We can all stand to our feet. We're going to open this service. How many of you had the greatest week you've ever had? How many of you it took every ounce of the energy that you have left to walk in this place this afternoon? How many of you are somewhere in between those two things? The good thing is that Jesus Christ is here, and he can take care of everything that we have need of. What we don't have time to do is we don't have time to wait till it's our favorite song. We don't have time to wait for ideal conditions. What we need to do is redeem the time this afternoon in the house of God, enjoy his presence, and believe that he can do what we need him to do. So if you have need of anything, and let me tell you something, if you're still alive, you need the Lord. I want you to worship him. I want you to talk to him. I want you to enjoy his presence. But most of all, I want you to leave this place differently than you stand right now. And we can do that in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to open with worship. I want you to worship. Come up to the front, praise and sing, clap your hands. Whatever you feel led to do, let's have a time in God's house this afternoon in Jesus' name.
Stand against, and if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if
Amen, amen. Our God is higher. He's stronger. He is all-knowing. He's all-powerful, and he is here this afternoon. We are going to enter into a time of prayer, and I don't have any specific prayer requests for any of our members this afternoon, but I have something that I want to do, and I've already instructed our worship team. It's a little bit out of the ordinary for what we normally do. I feel something in the service this afternoon that is a different little bit of a different spirit than what I normally feel. This is not to try to put anybody on the spot, and it's not because of anybody being here specifically for any reason. I felt led this morning before the Jefferson service. I feel led even more now, so after the Jefferson service, to do this. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask everybody under the sound of my voice to please come to the front of the church. I know some people get very hesitant of this. I'm aware of that. I'm sympathetic of that. But I think as a body of saints, every once in a while, we need to do something that unifies us together. And I believe that's what we're going to do in prayer today. Now, I'm not here to teach a Bible study on prayer because it would take too much time. But I know that one of the prayers that many churchgoers, many good people of God, many people that are Holy Ghost filled, sometimes the prayer that's overlooked in their life on a day-to-day basis is a prayer of repentance. Now, when you say repentance, immediately people get defensive because they think that the minister is saying that they've done something wrong. I'm not accusing anybody of anything, but I can tell you this. From the time I left this building last Sunday until the time that I'm speaking to you right now, I've not lived a perfect life. I've had thoughts that have entered my mind. I've had thoughts that have entered my heart. I've dealt with turmoil in different areas of my life. I've made mistakes. I've struggled. I've dealt with anxiety. I've dealt with fear, and have done all that as a child of God. The priest in the Old Testament would go into the Holy of Holies only once a year. And if they had sin on their life, they had at the border of their garment, they had a bell and a pomegranate, and a bell and a pomegranate, so that as they walked through the Holy of Holies, they made noise. And those on the outside of the veil that were not allowed into the Holy of Holies, if they stopped hearing the noise, they knew that that high priest had dropped dead because he had sin in his life. And they would take a hook and drag him out. Sometimes we come before God and we're not in the right spirit. So I believe that God's going to minister in this house this afternoon. And I want all of us to prepare ourselves to receive what God has for us. I want today to be a life-changing service for our congregation. And what we have to do is we have to prepare our hearts to receive what God has to do. So I don't know how you like to pray. I know on the live stream, and I thank everybody for watching, usually when we begin to pray, it goes to a blue screen that has, if you have any prayer requests, they can send it in, and I hope that they do that. When I pray a prayer of repentance, I like to get on my face before God. So I've instructed our worship team not to wait for us. They can just go ahead and begin to sing another song. But I'm asking all of us, find a place if you want to raise your hands. I don't want people praying with one another. That's not what this is about. I want each of us individually to talk to God. And I want to say, you want us to say, God, if there's anything in my heart, if there's anything in my spirit, if there's anything that you're not pleased with, God, I repent today. If you feel led during your prayer, if God begins to speak to you and says you need to go speak to so-and-so and make things right, I want you to do that today. Because I believe God wants to change lives in this place. So that's the precursor. If you want to kneel, if you want to come to the altar, if you want to kneel at the pews, whatever you want to do, I think for about 5 or 10 minutes, we need to repent unto the Lord and cry out to Him and let Him speak to us this time. So at this time, find a place, repent in the name of Jesus in this house.
So. go ahead and move forward in this service so you can return to your seats at this time. Our ushers can make their way up at this moment to receive today's tithes and offerings. Sometimes when I am reading, I'll go through some past notes of sermons that I've preached. And as of a few days ago, I was going through some of my notes of when Jesus fed the thousands with some fish and some bread. This little boy gave what he had unto the Lord, and God was able to multiply it and feed thousands of people. And when I was rereading some of these notes I wrote down, God had spoke to me and said, imagine if the church just gave what they had, what I could do with it. So today, I would just like to challenge all of us to be sensitive to the Spirit and ask God, what can I give to you today to reach another soul? So as we lift our hands and we pray, let's truly ask God what we could give today. Amen. Let's lift our hands and pray. God, we are so thankful, Lord, to be in the house of the Lord today. God, the place, Lord, that we can come to you, Lord, and we can talk to you and we can worship you. But God, we are here right now asking, what can we give to you, Lord? God, whether it's to the children's ministries or to the van ministry, God, or God, whatever ministry it is, God, we want to give back to your storehouse so more people can be reached today, Lord. God, they can be reached at a deeper level, more than we could ever think or imagine. In Jesus' wonderful name, we pray. Amen. You can march this afternoon, and Sister Angel is in the back for electronic giving.
Come on and say freedom, freedom. Praise the Lord, everybody. Clap your hands, all you people. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. If he's worthy, then he's worthy. Amen. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Has God helped anybody overcome? Hallelujah. We don't shout because we're emotional. We shout because of what God has done for us in our lives. He has been good all the time. Amen. Amen. Turn to your neighbor, and I want you to poke him and say, let's go get with the program. Before I dismiss your class, I want to say thank you to Pastor and Sister Klein and to whoever was responsible for the flowers that you sent to my mom's funeral. It meant a lot to us. I really appreciate it. I didn't expect to see those, and we appreciate your thoughtfulness and Pastor Klein sending those, and whoever else may have been a part of that. It really meant a lot. You know, my sister had a really hard time, and she told me, I'm not going to stand in line. She said, I don't want fake people to come up here and you know, say things they don't mean. And she's hurt. And I said, it's not that people are fake. I said, sometimes people, we all have lives and everybody has, you know, responsibilities and you can't get to everybody in this busy world. And my family's important to me, yours is important to you. And I told her, but people come out not because they're fake, they come out because they want to show their appreciation and sometimes their respect and all of those things. And I say that because, you know, just your small act of kindness and sending those flowers just meant a lot to us. So we really appreciate it. Your class, your Sunday school class, can be dismissed. Did they already go out or is it not here? Oh. I ain't waiting on nobody. Years ago, and I'm going back, you know, probably 25, 6, 7, 8 years, when I still attended church in Parma, they had testimony night, and the lady stands up, and she goes on this, like, rampage about her husband. And she says, ain't no man going to tell me what to do. That was her testimony. So needless to say, the pastor shut down testimony service after that. But I'm thinking maybe that's the kid's attitude this morning. Ain't no man. I don't need to wait on you to dismiss us. We're going to go to Sunday school. With that said, we thoroughly appreciate Pastor and Sister Klein. And we have grown to love them more and appreciate their passion and their willingness to work hard for the kingdom. And if you believe you're in good hands, as I turn it over to Pastor Klein, why don't you say amen?
Thank you, Pastor Arderi. The church that my wife and I came from, I used to MC our services. And I would do the same thing there that I would do here. On Sunday mornings, I would always forget to dismiss the Sunday school classes, and they had to go down into the basement at our older church. And there was a young girl. She was actually a distant cousin of my family. She was probably 9 or 10 years old at the time. And after service one Sunday, we were out in our foyer area greeting people as they were leaving. And she didn't live with her parents. She lived with her grandmother. Her grandmother was very old. And as they were leaving, she pulled her up and she said, tell him what you said about him. And I said, Essence, what'd you say about me? And she wasn't shy about it at all. She's like, all I want to do is go down to Sunday school and you get up there and all you do is blah, 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 blah. And she said, can you believe she said that? And my wife looked at her and goes, yeah, I can believe she said that. So I'm thankful that the kids are starting to get some initiative and just decide to go down on themselves. I, too, want to thank the church here, the members of the Ashtabula Church, for your generosity in giving and consideration, the things that we wrote in the card and things for Pastor R. Derry, Sister R. Derry, their extended family, Jonas, in the passing of Sister Bonnie. Generosity is extremely important. Kindness is extremely important. And just allowing people just a little bit of a space of time. I want to thank those ladies, and there were some gentlemen as well, that stepped up the last 2 weeks and helped clean the church here so that Sister Terry wouldn't have that on her plate in addition to everything that she was going through. I want you to know that as pastor of this church, I extremely appreciate your willingness to step in and just do what needs to be done. The Bible talks about the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Some people have, and I'm not trying to split hairs and get anybody upset, but in the kingdom of God, there are no labor unions. There aren't things that aren't part of your job description. There are things that need to be done, and there are people that need to step up and do it. And I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, because this week and last week, I truly appreciate and was proud of the response that we received in the giving. And also, I had people call me and say, Pastor, what can I do? Can I help clean? Wednesday night after Bible study, people were like, would you mind if we cleaned your office? This was after Bible study. So I want to thank everyone for your willingness to do that. It was very much appreciated. The only other thing I want to say before we get started is our ladies' meeting has been moved to this Saturday. All of the ladies that are going, if you would like to go, see my wife. You will be meeting at Becker's at 10 a.m. If it was up to me, you would meet at 8 a.m. But Sister Amber is acting like 10 a.m. is way too early. But 10 a.m. at Becker's, all the ladies from Ashtabula getting together to have a meeting to just organize what they want to do as a ministry throughout the rest of the year. And everybody is invited to that. I have a message this afternoon. I don't think it's going to take a lot of time, but I think it's very important. So if you have your Bibles and would turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. This is the only scripture text that we're going to use for this message today. I may cite some others, but we won't turn there. If you have Philippians chapter 3, you can say amen. I would like to thank everybody that is here for your attention, and I'd like to thank everybody that's online. My wife ran into several people this week at Walmart that told her they watch every service online. Of course, I would rather prefer that they would be here with us in person, but some of them gave her very strong reasons why they watch online. So if you are watching online, thank you for tuning in with us. I hope that you feel blessed by what you are witnessing. But Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 says this, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. We're just going to read all the way through this. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. I'm going to stop right there for now. We're going to read the rest in a little bit. But he's talking about forgetting the things that are behind and pressing toward the mark of the high calling that is in Jesus Christ. If I was to put a title on this afternoon, and I don't want to be very long, I want to keep your attention. I want to speak to you on this thought or topic, maintaining focus. Maintaining focus. Brother Matthew, would you ask the Lord's blessing on this message?
Precious Father, Lord, we've gathered into this sanctuary here today, Lord, to hear from you, Lord, to meet you face to face, Lord. God, I ask, Lord, that as Pastor Klein brings forth the word, Lord, that our ears are open to hear and our eyes are open to see the word exactly how it needs to be delivered so we can receive it in Jesus' name, Lord. God, we ask that as Pastor Klein brings forth this word to us today, God, that it is delivered with your perfect will, Lord, leading the way. God, that he just steps into your presence so far, Lord. God, that all we see is you and your glory and your presence in this room today. God, we are here to meet you and to hear from you, Lord. And God, may there be no distractions to hinder the spirit, Lord. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
If you'll poke a different person than you've already poked and smile at them, you can be seated in Jesus' name. Don't just down till you poke somebody. See, we have a couple that are obedient. They're going across to poke. Maintaining focus. I'm going to read down through this scripture text, and then we're going to go very quickly to a point that I want to make. Not as though I had already attained, verse 12, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. The Apostle Paul, in his writing to the church at Philippi, tells them, I do not count myself to be one that has apprehended. In other words, what Paul just said was, I haven't made it yet. Is there anybody under the sound of my voice that you've got it figured out? You've perfected your walk with God. Raise your hand. Is there anybody here that's made it? Is there anybody here that's already been to heaven? Have you made heaven your home, or are you still here on earth? Well, you're in the very same boat that the Apostle Paul was, and he's writing to the Philippians saying, brethren and sisters, I don't count myself to have apprehended. So let me be just like the Apostle Paul this afternoon. I haven't made it. I've received the Holy Ghost. I've obeyed the plan of salvation. I've tried to live a holy, separate life. But I have not made it. I have not apprehended. I have not attained what it is that I'm trying to attain. I am not perfect. I'm not even anywhere close to being perfect. And I haven't apprehended this. And the Apostle Paul said that. He said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. He said, there's one thing I do. Not that I do consider myself I've attained. There's something that I do. There's an action that I, the Apostle Paul, take. And he said, this is it. I forget those things that are behind. I forget the past. Now, let me say something to you today. I know, without even having to question anybody personally, that there are people in this place right now that are paralyzed by their past, and they allow the adversary of your soul to bring it up all the time. Let me give you some examples of things that he brings up to you all the time. Divorce. Blessed quietness. It's quiet in here this afternoon. There are people in here that have suffered through the pains of a divorce. And the devil brings it up to them all the time. You're the reason. You've made a mistake. That's unforgivable. You can't do this. Some of us have past failures of sin in our life that we've repented of, that God has forgiven us of, yet we haven't forgiven ourselves. They're in our past. They're memories that bring us up all the time. Some of us have family dynamic that we're not real proud of. There's things that have happened in our families ways in our homes that God was not pleased with, and they're in our past, and even though we've been forgiven, we bring them up all the time. The devil's constantly bringing it up. There's things like physical and sexual and mental abuse that some of us have suffered through. Some of us may have caused the suffering that people have gone through, and it deals with us all the time. It eats at us. Well, what the Apostle Paul said, I don't count myself to have already made heaven my home. I'm not there yet. I'm still trying every day to get up and put one foot in front of the other. But there's one thing that I do. I'm forgetting those things that are behind me. You cannot serve God effectively looking backwards. In fact, the Bible says that when you put your hand to the plow and begin to work for the kingdom of God and you look back at where you came from, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. What is behind you needs to stay behind you. What you did yesterday is nowhere near as important as what you do right now in the kingdom of God. Many of us can only focus on the past. How many in here have a past? How many in here are embarrassed of some things in your past? How many in here have a closet? How many in here have skeletons in it? How many of you just have weird-looking shoes in it? Anybody see my wife's shoes today? Let's move on. He said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to the things that are before. Can I ask you something very point blank? And I'm not asking you to think about the person on the pew next to you or the person that's not here, that they need to hear this message. I want to talk to you individually. Spiritually, in the kingdom of God, what goals are you working towards? What are you trying to attain? I'm getting some looks like, what are you talking about? What are you trying to do? What is the focus of your walk with God? Where are you trying to go? I know we're all trying to make heaven our home. I'm asking in addition to that, what are you working towards? What is your focus? What is your passion? What is your calling? What is your vision spiritually in the church? Many embrace the scripture that says, occupy till I come. And they believe that all that means is to just sit down and just survive until the Lord comes back. That's not what the Lord wants us to do. We should be reaching towards something. We should be pressing towards something. We should be working for something. We should have an energy and a focus and an attitude that we're trying to do something for the kingdom of God, not in the life to come, but in the life that we live right here on earth. So I'll ask you again, and I don't want you to raise your hand and shout it out, but I want you to think about it. What are you reaching for? Because the next verse, verse 14, says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, I said all that to get to the point of what I want to talk about with maintaining focus. I believe, and I can take you to the scriptures, I won't today for sake of time. I believe that in these last days where we live right now, the devil is trying to wear out the saints of the Most High God. And I want to warn you today from the platform to be aware of some of his methods or his devices. See, preachers, old-time preachers, and I grew up in the old-time church where they preached hell, fire, and brimstone. And they preached everybody to the altar. I've seen services where the preacher preached himself to the altar. He convicted himself while he was preaching. And they would just lay it out there, and they would tell you, there's a heaven to gain, and there's a hell to shun. And they would just let the chips fly where they may. But I want to tell you something. This is one of the devil's strongest tools in 2025. they used to really come down and they would hammer on tobacco, or they would hammer on alcohol, or they would hammer on illicit drugs, or they would hammer, back then, the UPCI very much hammered on television and the sins of things, of entertainment and stuff like that. And I believe that you still need to be holy, righteous, and separate. If you don't believe that, come to Wednesday night Bible study. We're discussing holiness at length. But the devil nowadays has gotten very smart. And what he does in the church is he tries to keep us distracted. He doesn't come down and try to get us to outright sin. He doesn't come to Sister Darlene and tell her, what you need to do is you need to run around with five men. Who's laughing? She said me. He doesn't do that. He doesn't come to me and say, you know what, Brother Mike? You know what you should do? You should start doing heroin. The Bible says that we are drawn away of our own lusts. The things that we already kind of like, the devil distracts us with them. So let me be plain. I'm going to say some things in this message that I don't believe in and of themselves are sins, but they are distractions. I'll give you a big one. You ready? You ready for everybody to get mad at me? One of the biggest distractions the devil uses now to keep saints of God just not where they need to be with God is family. Are you telling me not to love my family? Exactly the opposite. You should love them more than you've ever loved them before, but you should also realize that no one in your family, not your spouse, not your children, and this is going to break my own heart, not your grandchildren are more important to you than God. And if they are, they become a distraction. Now, let me tell you some things about distraction. How many in here believe that you're not distracted? Because I'm going to prophesy to you right now. It's already happened, and it will happen dozens of times during the remainder of this service. What I wanted to do, but I'm a wise preacher, was before service, I wanted to come to every member and say, if you are going to stay through the service today, you are required to give me your cell phone. And we would have fewer people than we have right now, because some people will not separate themselves from their cell phone. I want to give you some statistics. This isn't Bible. This isn't Brother Mike's ideas. These are research data statistics. Per person, so every person, this isn't an aggregate amount, this is per person. If you have a full-time job, if you are still working in America, how many hours a year do you believe each person loses productivity at their job by what this research calls workplace distractions? Anybody want to guess? This many hours a year per person are lost due to distractions at work. The number is 720. Now hold on. In addition to that, so 720 hours a year, you spend at your job distracted from doing what you're hired to do. In addition to that 720, per person, it takes 127 hours a year to regain your focus after the distraction and get you back where you need to be. So almost 1,000 hours a year per person
you spend distracted at work. If you work full-time, you work 2,080 hours a year. That's 40 hours a week times 52 weeks. And 1,000, half of the time you are at work, you're distracted. Now, how many want to raise your hand and say, not me? Because now we're going to talk about some things that are distractions. Ready? Do this for me if you're brave enough. Because if we're honest, by the time I'm done, everybody will have their hand up. If I say something that distracts you, raise your hand. Notifications online. Okay, we have two honest people in this entire church, and we have about 14 that are going to get struck dead by God today. Let me do it in the way that some of you have your phones turned off now, and you have silence, you silenced them, but ding, ding. We were at Sister Bonnie's funeral yesterday. Many of you were there. You heard the funeral director, the undertaker, stand up and say, I need you all to please turn off your cell phones, because it's a rule of thumb that during a service this big, right at the most vital moment, someone's phone's going to ring and everyone's going to know your weird ringtone that you have. We have a lady at my office. I hope she's not watching. You ever hear that song? Hey, what's the matter with the... Oh. Every time I'm doing a training, every single time, she doesn't even have to come. She's in the back, and I'll just be ready to hit the real estate gold mine. I got them on the tips of their seats, and I'm like, hey, and it takes her 18 minutes to walk across and get her phone. The whole time, what's the matter with the... I'm like, meeting's over. It's a distraction. How many of you are at work? Monday's a great day because every Monday you get inspired. You came out of a good church service. You're going to change your life. How many of you, don't raise your hand, are starting a diet tomorrow? Monday. You researched it. You're going to do the Mediterranean diet. You went and bought a whole bunch of extra virgin olive oil. You're going to eat vegetarian. Tomorrow, so you're going to start. So Monday, you get to work, and you're like, you know what? You went and bought a new highlighter. You got a new notebook. You got a new outfit. You're sitting there. You've organized your whole desk area, and you're sitting your and you got your phone upside down. And while you're sitting there and you're researching the sales from the week before, you go, your phone starts vibrating across. I'm not going to pay attention. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Wait a minute. It might be. Maybe Katie got in a wreck. I need to know. Maybe something happened to Livy. I better figure it out. And I flip it over and someone commented on your tell me I'm wrong. Oh, hold on. Well, that's very important. So I click on that. 3 hours go by of me scrolling through nonsense. And I look and I'm like, well, it's lunchtime. What am I going to eat for lunch? Well, I'm going to go back on my phone. Here's number two. Office gossip. How many of you work at a place where you know everybody's business? Yeah, there should be more hands up. Office noise, boredom, personal issues, changes in the workplace. You get a new boss, so all the underlings have to start a group text that the boss isn't in and tell what you really think about them. My wife has taken a new job. She's the director of a daycare in Madison, and she's in a group text now, and it's ridiculous. Literally, when she has her phone turned on, I'm like, if you don't turn that phone off, I'm going to throw it out the car window, because it's ding, 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 and it's nothing. The other day, I was like, what could be that important? She showed a picture of a little baby that had a blowout. And all the other teachers were shocked, putting memes and gifs up about how gross it was that they had to change a baby's diaper. That was the important. I'm talking an hour. Ding, ding. They probably didn't even, the kid was probably still dirty. It's a distraction. There's nothing wrong. You don't fire those people. If you fired everybody that went on social media while they were at work, we would be in the worst depression ever. Because the average person wastes 1,000 hours a year. I want to read a couple more statistics. 80% of all workers are distracted during the workday. 90%, you don't get much higher than that, of workers, when polled, said that their number one distraction in the workplace is what? Their cell phone. It's also the number one distraction in church. Don't tell me you're doing a sword drill. I'm looking up the scriptures. No, you're not. You're commenting on Instagram. 61% of all workers said they are physically unable to focus longer than 1 hour without distraction. And the numbers show that they are completely false, because it's actually about every 4 minutes. If you are on social media, data says that you check your phone on average 1,000 times a day. Again, if you check Facebook 1,000 times a day, and that's the only thing you do wrong, and you've repented of your sins, and you've been baptized in Jesus' name, and you were filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, and the Lord comes back, are you going to hell? No. But are you reaching what you're working towards in the kingdom of God? Because let me tell you, I'm not concerned about social media. I'm not concerned about online gossip. I'm not concerned about you going down a rabbit hole and reading every conspiracy theory there is. I have a brother that's battling stage 4 cancer. And he has a lot of time now on his hands. And he's a politics psychopath. He wants to watch everything he can get his hands on about everything and accuse it of other things. He sent me this thing this week, and I was like, what in the world? Talking about, and I'm not here to rattle political sabers with anybody, but talking about how there's a movement out there now that believes that Donald Trump is a direct descendant of Jesus Christ. And that he is to use the military to bring about peace on earth. Because he received 3 drops of blood from John F. Kennedy, who's still alive, by the way, orchestrating this whole thing. Now, you're looking at me like I'm crazy, but if you have YouTube, you've gone down some rabbit holes too. You clicked on one thing, and before you know it, 3 hours in, you don't know anything about your life. You've questioned every part of your existence. I really do think that if I eat 9 hot dogs a day, I'll be shredded. So-and-so said so. It's a distraction. It's a distraction. Paul said, I press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let me ask you point blank, and I'm almost done. How many of you, under the sound of my voice, spiritually now. I'm not talking about your job. I'm not talking about where you are in your career and your finances. How many of you under the sound of my voice this afternoon right now are where you want to be spiritually with God? You're at the pinnacle of your walk with God. How many of you right now, today, Sunday, the 17th, are at the height of your prayer life? How many of you right now, today, you hit the goal? You reached the goal in your fasting? How many of you did a Bible study this morning before church that reached the pinnacle of your reading? You're closer to God spiritually today than you've ever been before. Is there anybody? Okay, be honest, and you don't have to raise your hand. What's distracting you from it? The Bible says for us to bring forth our strong reasons. This is what the devil does. He puts things right in front of you. He doesn't force you to do anything. He doesn't have the ability to do that. But he makes distractions available to you. I'm going to give you some examples that are probably going to get some people a little aggravated, but I'm going to say them anyway. And if you're mad at me, my office is unlocked, and you can come in and call me everything that you want. But here's the truth, and I know what I'm talking about. We have prayer tomorrow from 5:30 to 6:30. On Mondays, we changed it from Fridays to Mondays to make it more accessible for people. Now, I was raised too bad when it's accessible. You change your schedule. God doesn't play second fiddle. But I'm a little bit kinder than the preachers that I came up under. So we changed it to Monday. Here's the truth. Can I be plain? There are people, and I'm not saying this church is any unique church out of any of them. They're all the same way. I don't care what day you put it on. I don't care what time you make it. I don't care if you literally will go put people and pick them up and piggyback them from their house physically to get them to church. There are people that no matter what time you pick, something else is going to distract them. And let me tell you what the something else is. Son or daughter is going to drop by for a visit. It's the only time you can FaceTime your granddaughter in Dayton. You get invited to a birthday party, and you're not controlling the birthday party. Your family is, so you're not. You have no choice. That's the only time you can get into the doctor. That's the only available appointment I could get to get my toenails done. That's the time we had a lady in our church, and I'm very sympathetic to the ladies because I learned some things with my mom. I see some things with my wife. When you have uncut hair, it takes longer to take care of it than when you have cut hair. I'm in every Sunday morning. I'm like, really? I let you shower first. I take a whole bunch of time just wasting time, and I'm still waiting on a woman. I'm like, I did my hair. All in one swoop. Take the wash rag. Done. Washed, dried, conditioned, and combed. All in one. But had a lady that told me she couldn't come to prayer because that was the day that she did her hair. She said I want to explain what this woman did to her hair. She believed in uncut hair as a lady. She was an older lady. Her hair hadn't been cut in probably 60 years, but she was essentially bald in certain other areas, but didn't want anybody to know, so she had it grown real long, and she would wash it once a week. She would take an empty toilet paper roll, stick it on the top of her head, pull the long hair through it and make a design so it looked like, you ever see the beehive ladies, the old church ladies look like they have a beehive on their head? And she's like, I can't come to prayer because that's the day I do my hair. So what I like to do as a preacher is once I get people's confidence, I like to call people's bluff. And I said, so you only do your hair once a week? She said, yes. I said, well, what if we change prayer? So if we have prayer Friday, you can't come because that's the day. What if we change prayer to Thursday? You can make it? Or will suddenly Thursday become the day that the hair has to get made? I'm telling you, the devil's smart. And he sends distractions. He'll send distractions in your relationship. You make it a start for God. You decide, you know what? I'm going to the next level. I'm going to forget the way it's always been, and I'm reaching towards what God has for me. How many of you believe that God has more for you individually than what you're experiencing right now? How many of you know God's not just going to give it to you? But if he sees effort, he rewards it. If he sees honest effort, God wants to change people's lives. I'm talking spiritually and in this life. But he wants to see commitment. And distraction is stopping a lot of people. Let me tell you what's going to happen. You say, all right, from now on, I'm taking some advice. I've listened to old-time preachers. I've listened to old-time saints, and they say, if you want to get started with God, you got to start first thing in the morning. So tomorrow I'm setting my alarm. I'm getting up at 5:30, and I'm going to spend some time in prayer and in reading of God's word all before everybody else gets up. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen tomorrow. You're going to wake up. You're going to tiptoe through the house. You're going to get to your little study area. You're going to turn the light on. And the baby's going to start crying, or the dog's going to start barking, or you're going to sit down, you're going to open the book, and you're going to get to your favorite scripture, and you're going to read three words. You're going to say, and Peter said unto them, and you're going to hear, boop, boop, boop. The roof's leaking. Are you serious? It's a distraction. You're going to say, you know what? I've made up my mind. The saints of God used to visit one another. So I'm retired now. I'm going to start visiting my brothers and sisters. And you're going to get out in your car, and you're going to turn it on, and you're going to look at the dashboard, and that thing's going to come on. Check engine light. You're going to come back into the house, and the phone's going to ring. And it's going to be a number that you really don't even want to talk to anyway. But you can't be rude, so you pick it up. You decide that you're going to give more in offerings and tithes, and you're going to start to finance the things that you want to see in the church, and all of a sudden you're going to get a bill that you didn't know about. The devil's job is to keep us distracted. That's why it is so important, especially when we walk into the house of God, that we leave all the nonsense out there. It'll still be there. When you walk out the door, if you left it on the bush or you left it on one of my wife's plants, that issue that you're dealing with will still be there for you to pick it back up. But there's something about coming into the house of God and say, you know what? Maybe I've got to put blinders on like a racehorse, but I am trying to stay, I'm maintaining my focus on what God wants to do because I don't want to walk through this spiritual life mediocre. I don't just want to make heaven by the skin of my teeth. There's promises in the Word of God that I believe are for me, and I don't want the devil to distract me from focusing on the prize of the hall calling of Jesus. I had us repent for a reason. When I was seeking the Lord for the Holy Ghost, I'm almost done. I sought the Lord for 2 years, It took me 2 years to receive the Holy Ghost. I probably received the Holy Ghost as a child and just never claimed it. I went to church camp, and pretty much everybody at church camp gets the Holy Ghost. And then 2 weeks after I got back from church camp, I liked girls. So I was like, you know what? I'll wait till later. I liked girls a lot. I should have known back then. I should have listened to them old preachers. Them girls, he said, you'll chase them till they catch you. And I was like, what do you mean? He goes, you'll go fishing for them girls, and once they get their hook in you, they don't let go. And I was like, you don't understand. And then I found my wife. When I met my wife, I told her, one of our first dates, I said, I don't even want you to mention, don't mention the M word. We don't say the M word. We don't say that. We'll date. I think you're pretty. I'll even pay every once in a while. But we know there's no M word. 6 months later, 6 months, I'm down on my knee in the snow. Thought it all out. Took her to the first place that I ever told her I loved her. Will you marry me? And I could just see my dad saying, I told you. I warned you. You chase them. You chase them. You chase them. And then they catch you. And once they get you, they don't let go. She hasn't let go since. But I thought I got the Holy Ghost. But as an adult, I came back and I'd done a whole bunch of things and I didn't need to repent again. I didn't need to be baptized again. But to settle my own mind, I did. But I'll tell you what the devil used to do to me. I used to come to church with the whole focus being, I'm getting the Holy Ghost tonight. And I couldn't wait. I'm telling you, I wore out the saints of God because I went to the altar every single service. Wednesday night Bible study, when everybody just wanted to go home. He'd be up there preaching on something, didn't have nothing to do with salvation. And he'd be like, come to the music. I'd be like, that's an altar call. And I'd go up there and start praying. I'd beat on the altar. I'd cry. I remember one time they preached on Hezekiah turning his face to the wall. I went over to the wall for like an hour and just yelled at God. God, you want to go, go. Because that's the key to getting the Holy Ghost. People praying with me. Some of the older people not praying. One guy told me, he goes, you're too angry to get the Holy Ghost. He's like, I ain't praying with you till you unclench your fists. But when I'd be praying, the dumbest things, I'd be up there and I'd feel the Spirit start to move. And I want to talk to some people because there's some people that get real close in this church. And I'd start to stammer lips. And I'd start to feel the Holy Ghost trying to speak and take utterance. And I'd get scared of yielding control of my members. And the devil would put a simple thought in my mind. You left the lights on. Break my concentration. I'd be down praying at the altar, and there'd be good saints of God praying with me, and I'd be so close, I could feel the Holy Ghost all over me, and I'd start to shake, and they would say something, and my mind would go, who is that? Who's praying with me? And I could no longer focus. I'd literally have to go. Here's a big one, especially for young people, but older people as well. We'd have a guest evangelist come that was a lot bigger name than our preachers at home. And I'd go up to the altar, and they would be praying with people. And David Bernard's walking down the altar praying for people. And I'd be done praying, but man, I want him to pray. I want him to lay hands on me. So I'd sit down here and wait for him. I'd be like, oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And then you could feel the aura of David Bernard walking towards you. Everybody's getting, oh, David Bernard's coming. And then you really got to start acting like you're getting, oh, and then you put your, oh, my Lord, David. Then it's a Facebook post. Me and my boy Dave, we're praying in the altar today. They're distractions. Because the devil knows for him to be successful, he doesn't have to get you to commit mortal sin. He's just got to keep your focus off. He's just got to keep you in chaos. He's just got to keep you unfocused on the goal. He's just got to get you up in the morning and you say, you know what, today's the day. And if he can sidetrack you a little bit, if he can just get you off, you come back a little bit later in the day, and if he can just, if something can just happen, just enough, just enough. Those of you that battle with things like drugs and alcohol, he doesn't have to get you to do them. He has to get you to stay in the environment you're in. He's got to get you to go visit somebody and you get a sniff. I never was a smoker. I never could grasp the concept of how it looked cool to blow smoke out of your mouth. And I'm not making fun because I know it's an addiction that people struggle with. But he doesn't have to get you to smoke. He just has to get you around people that are. And then you smell it. And then the rest of the day he talks to you. Don't you miss it. Don't you miss it. That preacher on YouTube says it's not a sin anyway. Brother Mike's just one of those old style Kentucky Pentecostals. You can do whatever you want. Don't worry about it. And you say, I'm not going to do it. But your mind is, oh. Pastor Arderi taught something this morning that I've taught in this church. And I believe, I'm still waiting on it, because I believe it's going to be a huge breakthrough for this assembly. I believe there are people under the sound of my voice that are physically in this building today. I'm not pointing you out because I'm not saying specifically. I just feel it in the spirit that you have issues in your heart from long ago that are unresolved. And you've learned how to deal with them. You've learned how to live with them. But they're not made right. And the scripture says that when we come to the altar to offer our gift, if we know there, not that we have aught against someone else, but if we know that someone has aught against us, the Bible teaches, not Brother Mike, not the United Pentecostal Church International, the Bible teaches that you are supposed to leave your gift at the altar, go and be reconciled to your brother or to your sister, and then come back and offer it. And I believe with everything in me that there are more than one person in this church that if we would do that, you would get the breakthrough that you so desire. And the devil knows that, so he uses it as a distraction. You can't go ask for forgiveness. Turn around and look at them. And you look, and they give you this look. And you get concerned. You get fearful, so you don't go do it. You don't realize that that's just the way they look. If I have aught against you or I love you, it's literally the same look. If I love you with everything in me, this is how I'll show it. If you're my favorite person on earth, when I pick up my granddaughter, this is probably what she sees. It's a distraction. So I'm going to stop right now. Is there anybody here today? This message isn't to take home. This message isn't to take notes and to dwell on it and chew on it and contemplate it. Is there anybody here this afternoon that before you leave today, you want to fight through some distractions? You want to talk to God today? You want to receive what it is that you've been talking about? You want to reach farther than you have. You want to say, you know what? This is what I've been doing, but that's the past. I'm forgetting those things, and I'm going to reach toward what God has for me. I'm going to have to stay focused. I may have to pray like this. Sometimes I would pray like this, so nobody would touch me. I'm going to tell you right now, when my daughter-in-law that just gave birth to my granddaughter was seeking the Holy Ghost, she was a timid person. She couldn't speak out loud. I thought she got the Holy Ghost for weeks, but she just couldn't. She wouldn't make noise. She'd be up there with stammering lips with no noise coming out. And what it was is she was intimidated by other people praying with her. So I'll tell you what my wife and I did, and I'm not joking at all. We said, do you want the Holy Ghost? She said, yeah. We said, get as close as you can to the altar. So we brought her to the corner of the altar and put her feet right up against the wall, and then we literally played football linemen. I said, stand right there, and I stood right here. So when any of the good-meaning saints of God came to lay hands on them, I literally, physically was like, Jesus' name, Jesus. They try to reach around you to shake them into the Holy Ghost. Jesus' name. And we blocked them long enough so that she could get through the distraction. God wants to do something different in your life, but he's not going to eliminate all distractions. You've got to understand that you've got something you have to do. He's not just going to walk down the aisle of this church and trip over his sandal and spill the Holy Ghost onto you. But I'm here to tell you with 100% assurance that if you'll start reaching to him, if you'll say, you know what? I don't know how to beat these distractions, but I'm going to do what that preacher said, and I'm going to go cry in the altar, and I'm going to pray the only way I know how, and I'm going to reach out to God, and I'm going to open up myself to him. He will meet you where you are, and he won't leave you there. He'll make you the saint of God that you really want to be. Or you can sit right now with the unction of the Holy Ghost so strong and wait for that thing in your pocket to vibrate one more time and see if you leveled up on Candy Crush. Maintain focus. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. But if you say, you know what, today's the day. I'm going to the altar and I'm praying till something happens. I'm going to lay hold on the horns of the altar and I'm not leaving till me and God have a come to Jesus meeting. I'm here to tell you God will show up in this place and help you get to where you want to go. As the church stands to their feet, I know we joked a little bit. I know we laughed a little bit. And I know that you think that I'm one of the craziest people you've ever met. But I'm here to tell you, I know that there's times in my life where I gotta shut everything else off. I gotta shut it out. I gotta get away from it. Sometimes I physically have to just go off by myself because God wants to speak and he's not talking over the noise. But if you'll say, you know what? I'm going to shut everything else up. I've prayed at the altar literally with my fingers in my ears. If you come to prayer on Monday night, you'll probably see it. I pray at that seat right there. I take my hearing aids out of my ears and I put my hands over my ears so that I can hear what I'm saying to God. And then I just stop and I want to hear what he says back to me. Let's maintain focus. Let's reach towards where God wants to take us. Let's forget everything that happened before today and start a new course with God, believing that he wants to take us where we want to go. If that applies to anybody, this altar's open. I would ask you to come and pray. Pray the way that you pray. Pray the way that God's calling on you to pray. Eliminate the distractions in your life and let God be God the way he wants to be. As they play and sing, this altar's open.
Yeah.
We thank the Lord for the service this afternoon. I thank you for your attention. I want to thank our worship team as well. I didn't read this because I didn't want it to be the focus, but I do want to read this before we dismiss. As we talked about the hours and hours and hours of distraction in the workplace, estimates say that these distractions cost U.S. businesses about $650 billion a year in lost earnings. All from just being distracted. There's a scripture that says, "When I return, shall I find faith on the earth?" Maybe this message was for me. I don't know. I don't want it to ever come across my messages or my ministry to be like I'm accusing anybody, because I don't know anything specific about any one person or any group of people that I'm preaching about. I just know the effects of simple distraction, just enough to throw you off of what it is that you really, really, really want. And at some point, we've got to be men and we've got to be women and decide that we are going to do what God wants us to do. I pray that you have a great day. For those of you that have been asking, or those of you that are wondering, maybe some of you online, you are invited to our prayer every Monday night from 5:30 to 6:30. You're also invited to our Wednesday night Bible study that starts at 7. If you want to connect yourself with the church and you want to get closer to God, there's two opportunities there. Remember the ladies' meeting this Saturday, and remember any of the other announcements that have come forth. Continue to pray for the things that we're praying for. Let's be dismissed in a word of prayer right now. Lord Jesus, God, we appreciate you and we love you. We thank you, Lord, for who it is that you are and for what you do. God, we're thankful for this opportunity this afternoon, Lord, to assemble ourselves together. Jesus, to break your word, to fellowship one with another, Lord, to feel your spirit. We ask you now humbly to go with each and every one of us as we leave this place. Keep your hand of protection upon us as we travel over the highways. Get us to our destinations and bring us back at the next appointed time. In your precious name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed at this time.